Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
I picked Croatia as the place to find names. And so the client's name is Luca, and the dead person is his dad, and I named him Anton.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would have thought you went to Italy.
With the name?
I love this. Go on. Oh. Luca's adorable.
Well, you know what I'm finding out as I'm actually researching names in different countries, because I just type in a country and then say male names, female names, it will sometimes say that the name is also from, and then it lists other countries as well,
just
right?
Like derivatives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, so obviously made up names. Luca asks me at the beginning of the session for medium, and he says he's looking to talk to his dad. And at the very beginning, I don't see Anton. I don't see a human being at all. I simply see a camera that I had when I was a little girl.
Cool.
And it was silver and black. And you had to look down into the camera, and the lens was at the front, and then you press. Oh my God, Kelly, it was so wild, because this, I think, was like one of the first cameras I had ever used.
Or that was ever created. I'm just teasing. That was rude. This is really funny, because if you've listened or binged the podcasts, there was a period of time where in every single episode, Karen would state her age. Like very proudly, which is wonderful.
Have I stopped?
Very much so. And now you're just dating yourself by technology.
Right.
Now, to soften this lovely blow here, all of the 90s technology is now in tech museums.
Oh.
So yet. We are
out.
We are one.
Okay. Then I see another camera from when I'm a little bit older, and I see a progression of cameras. And that's it. That's the first thing that I get. And oh my God, does it ever warm my heart? And I kind of have this little bit of a giggle. And Luca says to me, "What's going on over there?" And I said, "Anton is showing me cameras." And he goes, "Oh." And I said, "A whole series of cameras, not just one." And I said, "It goes back to when I was a kid." And he goes, "Okay." And he says, "Anything else about them?" And so I said, "Well, I'm not certain what I'm supposed to tell you. Am I supposed to describe the cameras?" No, that's not what I meant. I said, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "I'm sorry." He said, "That question was evasive." I said, "That's okay." I said, "Just give me a minute and let me see what Anton wants to show me." And then I see really old pictures. And some like the pic, it's really important to say what I see in the pictures, but I didn't know that at first. So I said, "Oh, I see pictures." And Luca doesn't say anything. And there's a pause. So I look at the pictures and I go, "Maybe I should see these closer." So I say to the spirit guides, "Could I have a closer
zoom in,
please?" Right? Zoom in so that I can see what's in the pictures. And so I do. I get pictures where there are just faces, and I think, "Oh, that looks like maybe family because of the ages of the people." And then I see the pictures changing, and I see war. I see, and it changes abruptly, and the pictures of the war are disturbing. But this is a person who's in the war. This isn't somebody who's just taking pictures of war from afar. This person who took the picture is at the scene. And that's something that really strikes me, because I, as Karen, I've seen all kinds of pictures of war in books, on the news, and I always feel so removed. And this time when I see the pictures, I cannot remove myself. And it's like, "Oh, what the heck?" And I'm trying my best to really convey to everybody listening to what a difference that is. And that this is like the first time in my life I'm really understanding the difference. So I say to Luca, geez, I said, I want to describe what I see in the pictures. And he just says, sure. So I explain what I see in the pictures and I explain the feeling I have that I'm not just looking at them, but that I'm in them and that I'm there to take those pictures. And he goes, do you want me to say anything? And I said, I don't know. I said, can you just give me a minute so that I can talk to Anton? And he goes, yeah. He says, you let me know when you want me to say anything. He says, because I can fill things in and do that. So I said to Anton, what's going on? And he goes, oh, I want to show you more of the pictures. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then he shows a few more pictures and I see a man and I see him talking like in the picture to another man and he's holding like a microphone and he's like interviewing. And I went, oh, wait a minute. That's not photography. That's interviewing. And so that's like a reporter. And then I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe Anton is both people and he's trying to show me both. And this is a cool way instead of walking up to me and saying, I was a reporter and I was a photographer. And I like the way that he's done that. So I said, Luca, I said, I just want to put something down on the page and then I'll listen to you. So I write down on the page reporter, photographer, and I write down war on it like this. And I said, okay, you go ahead. I've put some notes on my page. And he goes, can I see the page? And I said, you could. I said, I could show it to you and then you could tell me whatever order you want. And he goes, I'd like to see what's on the page first. And I said, sure. So I take it and I show it to him over Zoom and I put the page down and then I look at him. But when I put the page down and now I'm looking at Luca, he's got the freaking biggest smile on his face. And I said, oh, I said, this has meaning for you. And he said, oh, yeah. And he goes, I'm so excited. And I said, oh, okay, good. You go ahead and you can tell me why you're excited after. And he goes, no, I'm going to tell you why I'm excited first. He says, I got to get this out. I'm so excited. He says, because of what you are doing and how you are doing it. And I'll explain why later. It's so important to me. He says, but one of the reasons, Karen, is that you're not the first medium. Mm-hmm. He said, you are not my first attempt. And he said, and I have seen other mediums that were good at what they did. And that they did say certain things to me, like your dad was a photographer, because they had an inner knowing. He said, but you did it from the space of you saw my dad's photography. And that has a completely different meaning to me, that my dad shared his work and that I have those pictures in my house, that I have those things. And he said, some of them are on my walls. He said, some of them are in books, albums. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so it's really a beautiful thing. And he said that my dad is showing it to you in that way. And it's just, he says, I'm so happy. And he said, now I want to explain to you, he said, and give you those validations that Anton began as a photographer. And he said, my dad didn't go to school. He didn't go to a college or a university. My dad simply took his first camera and he said, which you must be near the age of my dad. He said, because you're describing.
Sorry.
Happiness, son.
Thanks.
You're describing some of the cameras that my dad showed me and talked about because my dad kept his cameras.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And he said, so it's super significant to me because I also have those cameras right here in my house that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so this is like absolutely, and he says, beautiful, magical. And he says, but also he says, I don't want to disrespect you. It's real. Mm. And he says, so He says, it's real what you're showing, what you're seeing. And I have them right here in the house. I could pull them up and show them. They're in a box a chest. And he said, so it's important that I say to you that it's magical to me that I have my father, but it's professional to you that you do. and it's all real. And
I love said, this.
Yeah. And I said, thank you very much, Luca. I said, I think other clients have tried to express that in the past. And he said, yeah, and I'll bet that some of them don't and don't even validate it for you that they actually have the evidence of your accuracy in their home or in their possession, or they know where it is in their grandma's house or whatever, but they don't say anything to you because they're there to really get their needs met.
Yep.
And I said, yes. And I said, and that's the priority, their needs, not my validation.
I also think that some people are so, this is in defense of the people that you're talking about. Like, I also think people are so conditioned to not talk about the validations for fear that someone is going to create a less magical moment for them. And so, not that you would, but just because there's so much of a conditioning, they might listen and go, yep, that's correct. Yes. And then kind of move on and hide their own excitement or glee because it's just like they're used to having to experience it on their own. Right. And I know some people will come and test and maybe just intentionally not share or withhold. But I think there's different situations.
Yeah. And to speak to that, I've had one client who sat down, this was years ago, but I'll never forget her. She sat down and after about half an hour of a session told me that she had a piece of paper in front of her and she was grading me. And that she had, like whether I was correct or I was incorrect. And that she wanted to know my percentage of accuracy. And that she thought that she would tell me that at the end of the session. And that she saw mediums on a regular basis. And she graded all of them. And that she was quite proud to do the grading. And thought she was being somewhat judgmental. And I say that because she laughed and giggled through through telling me this. It wasn't I'm trying to help you and validate you. It was, this is a game to me. And I remember at the time just saying to her that I didn't appreciate it. Okay. So thank you for explaining that and all of the reasons that people can do things like that. Then Luca says to me, this is heartwarming for me to know that Dad's on the other side and for him to know that I have all of these things. Because I got these things after Dad died. And he said, so Karen, it's also like there's more, it's more complex. It's not just that you're validating this is Dad, but you're validating that he knows that I got these and none of my brothers or sisters did. And there are a lot of us. So he goes, it could have been divvied up. And he said, it could be, you know, like Dad could have said things in certain ways, but he's actually describing the things that I've got in my home, not the things that my other siblings have in their homes. And he says, I love knowing that Dad knows this. He says, I feel really connected to him. And that's why I wanted to do this. I was looking to feel connected to Dad. That's my goal. And I said, okay. I said, thank you for sharing that. And I said, I love it. And I really appreciate it. It's beautiful. And I said, let me see what else Anton wants to tell you. And so Anton says, I learned through life, through the photography, that eventually that I really wanted to record things for history. And I realized, and I really just did it for years. He said, I did it for over a decade where I just did photography. And he said, and then the war started. And then he said, I realized that I had to write things because I was with certain people that I would take my photography and I would send it in someplace and say, here are pictures. And then I would see my pictures in a magazine or in a newspaper later, but not even accurate.
No context inaccurate context?
Complete wrong context. It wasn't even the right location. It wasn't even the right day. He said the facts that went with my story didn't even, that were written about it, weren't true. And he said it bothered me. And he said that I wasn't getting credit for my work. I wasn't getting paid for my work. I was putting myself at risk and all of the information was inaccurate. And he said, and that's when his parents said to him, look, clearly you're good enough to do it for a living. Write. And if you're writing about facts, then only worry about your honesty. Worry about your integrity. don't worry about the language of it all. Just write the truth, because that's what society wants. So he did. He began the writing. So I said all of this to Luca, and he goes, yes. He goes, that's true. That's my dad's life. He goes, keep going. I just want to hear dad. I said to Anton, he apparently just wants to keep hearing your story. Could you continue? And he said, yeah. He said, I began writing. And he said, and I wanted to write the truth. But I realized that eventually that I couldn't just write what I was observing. I had to write what, like, and speak to people and interview them and talk to them. He says, I didn't call it an interview, though. He said, I just wanted to talk to them to understand things. And he said then I had to, I realized I didn't know enough. And I realized that when I asked someone something, if I asked the wrong question, it could be worth my life. Mm. And he goes, but I learned that the hard way by being in that circumstance where I realized that I made it out of there just by the grace of God. He said, just not because that person was kind. It's just that they maybe got distracted, but like I really could have lost my life. So he said, then I learned that I had to be better at asking questions and at approaching people and at what my energy was. And he said, eventually I even learned that if I brought a sense of humor to some very difficult situations, it could save my life. So he said, I really learned a lot just by being in it, as opposed to going to school and learning something. And he says to me, and thank God, he says, because I don't know that a school would have taught me that I needed humor. Mm-hmm. So I repeat all of this to Luca, and he says, oh, he says, this is so much fun. And I said, okay, okay, fine. And he goes, I'm saying it because my dad was a storyteller. He said my dad got so good over the decades at what he did that when he spoke to me and to my brothers and sisters, when we listened to his stories, he was a storyteller. And he said, but when you read his articles, it was more just based on facts, and that my dad tried to give the story, but based on those facts, and to really make sure that he didn't put opinion into it. And I said, okay. And he says, and I want to say more, but I can't right now. He says, because I have to watch the timeline. So I said, okay. Then I ask Anton, what's next? And he shows me a book. And I said, oh, you wrote the book? Who wrote the book? Luca, you? What's going on? And Anton says to me, I wrote a book. And I said, about all of this? And he goes, yes, but not about Luca. He goes, no, like about the wars and stuff. He goes, I wanted the truth being told. And he said, and I wanted my book in other countries where I was learning that the truth wasn't being told. And then he realized even in my own country, the truth wasn't being told. All for political reasons, and not just politics, but the businesses, the corporations, all the things behind it, right? And he goes, so he says, I wrote a book. And I said, did your book ever get published? And he said, it did. And I said, oh, let me tell Luca that. He goes, you can say that. And he says, and that my book is published and that it did go out, but it was taken off. Like, my book didn't get to stay out because that's not what they wanted known. So he says, my book is not important. He says, it's not out there. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. So I tell Luca that, and he goes, yes. And he said, again, Karen, the timeline of what you're saying is super important, and I appreciate what my dad is doing. Cool. Anton, what else do you want to tell Luca? And he shows me a second book, but it doesn't look the same. And I said, so whose book is this? Is this your second book? To Anton. And he goes, no, this one's Luca's. Hmm. And I said, he goes, but open it. So I open, or, you know, ask the spirit guides to open up the book. And when he goes to open it, Kelly, Anton's book is in it. Hmm. And I said, oh, I don't get that.
Oh, I do.
I said, I'm so confused. And I said, can I please tell Luca this? And he goes, yeah, you can. And I say to Luca, hey, I said, I see a second book. And oh my God, I thought Luca was going to fall off his freaking chair. And I said, but I'm so confused. I said, I don't understand what he's doing. And he goes, well, what has he done? I said, well, he took a second book and he says it's yours. And he goes, yes. And I said, but his book is in the book. And he goes, and at that point, I thought this man was going to fall off his chair. He just looks at me and he just honestly, Pete, Kelly, I couldn't tell if he was crying out of happiness or tears or both or what he was doing. He was so overwhelmed, so overwhelmed. And then his head went down and I just couldn't even see him. All I could see was the wall behind him, which was just plain. And I waited because I could hear noise. And then when Luca comes up, I'm still not quite certain what's going on. And he looks to me and he goes, this is the whole goal of my father's life. Other than us kids and loving my mom, he said, let's be clear. The book is my dad's life. And he goes, and it destroyed me that they took it off the shelves. I took my father's book. So this is...
Keep going. This is great.
He said, I wrote a preface. Then it's my dad's book within the book. And I even have the picture of the cover of my dad's book. So everybody knows they're reading my father's book.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and then the back of the book, he says, there's, what do you call it? The end of the epilogue?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's quite long. That's actually the end, like after dad died.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, the front of the book is before dad died, my relationship with dad, his work, his book. And then after dad's passed. What I've been through to try and publish dad's book.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh my God, I was blown away because I could not get that whole scenario. I look at Anton and finally I can really see him clearly. And he looks so similar to the man sitting in front of me. It's quite remarkable. And I said, oh my God, I said, I just see your dad for the very first time. And he goes, what? I said, well, I've been seeing mm-hmm. your dad at younger ages and stages. Didn't look like you when I saw the photographs. It didn't look like you quite, like totally. And I said, but now that I see him and he's showing me at your age, you're like the spitting image of your father. And he said, I am. He said, I am the spitting image. And he says, so are some of my brothers and sisters. That several of us look like dad. And I said, oh my God. And I said, you've got pictures in the book of you and your dad, like at the same age, so that people can see that. And he said, I do. He said, I have actually put quite a few pictures in the book and the first chapter and the epilogue to do this. And I said, your dad is saying that this has become your life work and that you share one heart. And Luca burst into tears. And this time I had no doubt that this were the tears of love. And so I'm beaming.
Yeah.
I'm at that moment, I'm letting Luca have his time with his dad, where they are sharing energy. And I'm so fucking proud of myself, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I am so happy to be with Luca and to be with Anton. And I feel privileged and honored to be part of that heart.
That's what I've said to you like over and over again. Like you are a part of thousands of love stories.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible.
Yeah. And like, thank you. And I feel it so much because of who Luca is and very much because of who Anton is. And I'll say because of all the spirit guides, I felt
mm-hmm.
like that was a gift to me
mm-hmm.
in this lifetime to be able to be part of that and where the spirit guides were like, high five.
Yeah.
With our hearts
mm-hmm.
instead of with our hands. Right? Like it was absolutely beautiful. Then... Lucas says, when he calmed down, Lucas says to me, what else does dad want to tell me? And Anton says, I've always stressed that I am a part of my children, and that my heart has blended with his mother's heart when we married, when I fell in love with her, and that we shared a heart. Not in a codependent way, but in a love way and in an energetic way that would go beyond time, would go beyond a death, a human death. And so I tell Luca that, and he's like, yep. And he says, Dad's a storyteller. So Dad loved telling us the story of him falling in love with Mom.
Mm. Oh, fuck. That's lovely.
And he loved repeating. And as kids, we loved hearing the story of Dad falling in love with Mom. He didn't. He says Dad never went overboard to say that Mom was equally as in love with him. He made it like, this is my love story.
That's cute.
I fell in love with your mother, that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that gorgeous?
It's beautiful. And all of the lessons that go with it that the kids get to absorb about love, about marriage, about teamwork, about family. Like it's, yeah, that's what I wish for all humans.
Yeah. Then Anton says, Luca went into a career of languages. And I went, oh, do you mean like linguistics? And he said, yes. And I said, okay. He goes, could you bring it up? And I said, yeah, I'll write it on the page. So I put linguistics on the page. And then I said, Luca, I said, do you mind if I ask what career you went into? And he went, well, actually, he said, that's cool that you've asked because I wanted to bring it up because several times during our session together, I've pointed out that there's a reason I wanted to explain something to you later in the session. And he said, I very much went into linguistics and the study of language and the brain and neuroscience. He says, like, oh, I love neuroscience. I love what's going on in the brain. And I took the page and I showed him that I wrote linguistics on the page. And he was so happy. And he goes, so did you know that? Or did my dad tell you that? And I said, you know, sometimes I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I said, sometimes a client will ask me how I know something and it'll feel like the spirit guides are giving it to me because it's an inner knowing versus if I hear Anton and I hear a voice or I feel it in some other way. And I said, so I'm not certain. And he goes, never mind. And he says, I that wasn't actually the right question. And he said, I'm very careful how I word my questions. I'm very careful about listening and not interrupting people because I understand how important it is for the brain to process and for people to be allowed to correct themselves in their language because it's part of the process that we connect to ourself. And we had this absolutely gorgeous conversation.
I'm so envious.
Yeah.
Sorry.
About language.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it was about telling the truth and how he went into the study of language and the study of the brain, very much because of how his dad raised him, how important how you use your words, what you say, the sentence structure you say it in, that you correct yourself, that you are allowed to repair, that you are given the opportunity to say, that's not what I meant, or give me a second, I need to think because I don't know what I meant. I don't know what I felt. I can't remember the research. Like he says, it's so important to be able to do that. And he says, so I really value this whole session because of everything that you're doing in your brain to try and hear my dad, listen to the spirit guides. And he says, I'm fascinated with mediums because I don't understand how you're processing it in the brain.
Yeah. Because you're listening and talking at the same time. And we're all taught you can't be listening when you're talking. And there's a lot of validity to that when two humans are interacting. It does not work the same way for whatever reason when you're channeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I've asked you a question and you've already written the answer down as I've asked the question. I've watched you.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm watching you like a hawk here.
But we're also talking as the message is still coming through. So it's, yeah, there's a real interesting thing about time then folding in on itself.
That's what he said to me. He goes, I would ask you a quick question And before I, like, as soon as I'm done, you're already answering me. And you're telling me what my dad's telling me. Mm-hmm. And he goes, because I study the brain and I study linguistics and I love this neuroscience, I know damn well you haven't had enough time to listen. I know you haven't had enough time to process it and then translate it and give it to me. And he said, what blows me away is that my dad didn't speak English. Mm. He said, I speak another language. And he said, my dad speaks other languages. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so it's also blowing my mind because he says, you don't speak our language. And yet my dad didn't speak English. And you're talking in my dad, you're talking to my father. And he said, so in normal terms of what science would say is possible, you are an impossibility. Mm-hmm. If I break it down into how science wants to understand, this is not reasonable. And he said, but I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, because science is just a bunch of people making up rules.
Yeah. Okay. True. And also trying.
Yes.
Trying to, because the whole premise of science is, okay, let's hypothesize something and try and prove it or disprove it.
Yes.
Right? So there is this, like, let's set a boundary and then try and break it. Let's set another boundary and try and break it, which I think is actually pretty darn cool.
It is.
It's just that there's so much limitations to it.
Yes. And especially limitations if you're not even studying this, what we do. So for someone to say none of it is reasonable or plausible, but we haven't even studied it and we haven't even tried going through the process that you just described that science has created, then how do they actually say it's false?
But now you're saying they, and there's groups of scientists who are studying this, quantum physics and whatnot, who would look at other scientists and go, this is all very doable and it's all easily explainable by energy.
Right.
Right? And they would very much disagree with other fields of science.
Exactly. And they do.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, he smells good.
That would be our little puppy.
Yeah.
So the session winds down. We're at the end of the session. And Luca just says to me, we have this conversation. And then he says to me, this was wonderful. I'm mm-hmm. so grateful that I recorded it. He says, and being a true linguist, I recorded it on several devices.
Love it.
He said, because I there's certain things that I want to see. I want to see the pauses in your conversation. I want to see your tone of voice change. Mm. He said, I've noticed at different points in the session, your voice changes. And he said, just ever so slightly, but it does. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and I can't figure out why and what the context is, but I want to know why.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
It would be interesting too, to compare you to your voice in the podcast versus when you're actually channeling versus right. in the session when you're channeling, where you pause and say, can I just talk to you as a human for a minute?
Yes.
Because you're in a different state.
Yeah.
To do all three of those different types of jobs too, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I know, Kelly, that sometimes people will say, like, if I recommend a book, they'll say, oh, that was you recommending the book. And I have to say, no, that came from the spirit guides. Well, you were talking to my mom. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm listening to everybody on the other side. Mm-hmm. My job as a channeler is to bring in all of the information mm-hmm. from your mom, from the spirit guides, from everybody.
Well, I think you get accused of that. That was you recommending something when they don't like the message.
Yes.
Because when they like it, they're thrilled to attribute it to the other side.
That's true.
And that would be a them issue.
It's true. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I love this. This was lovely.
I figured you were going to like this podcast because of the type of content with the languages.
I love it for a lot of reasons. We're talking about two healthy men, first of all.
Yeah.
The more that we can put out there, we as human beings, to showcase healthy men, especially interacting with other men, that gives me hope for the world. This to me is like a Ted Lasso episode, right? Like, yeah, I love that. On top of that, yes, language for sure. Integrity and truth and reporting. Absolutely. Right. But also just the beauty of listening to how your gifts come in, I think is what will really enthrall people in how you get shown things in different stages mm-hmm. so that it makes sense to the person who's receiving the session. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really cool, this is a war kind of flashback episode because of this Anton's life. I think it's really fascinating in comparison to a Jim Lennep's episode, who genuinely came on the show himself and was a part of military, where his sessions were presented by a grandfather who also shared a history of war, presented in riddles.
Yes.
Which was such a completely different type of episode, but also different type of channeling session. So it's fascinating to me how the other side delivers things in different ways for different life purpose, right? So this guy, linguistics, wants things straightforward and very linear, even though the experience on the other side is not linear. And then Jim has this beautiful life purpose of also writing a book, but the journey of figuring out where his grandfather was, because it was so piecemeal and not private, but very like a redacted kind of life, mm-hmm. basically, was presented in, okay, this is an adventure.
And let's just say too that Jim in the military was a police officer, an investigator.
Yes, not interviewer. So I think this is really cool to see like a compare and contrast.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that one is better than the other, but just fascinating and engaging in different ways.
And four beautiful men. Mm-hmm. Four love stories, or two love stories.
Yep. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.